Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allowed me to come on before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you, amen. And they have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Ministries. That Turn on the Light Ministries with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and worship service starts at 10 a.m. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and also their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. So I thank you for calling in once again. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You are the melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies until all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am It was amazing, guys. Thank y'all.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. That song is by a guy named Zach Williams. He was actually doing a live performance inside of a prison in front of men who have been considered as the lowest of the low, animals, all types of names you can think of. Being in this field called law enforcement, you get to know a lot of these guys that are, as we call, locked up. But one thing that they do, they study. They watch. And they can tell if someone is really living what they're saying. So when they notice someone that's really living it, it gets their attention. And by them being at their breaking point, so to speak, their lowest place in society, that's when you get to know the real person. And then they begin to pour their hearts out and begin to share their stories with you, their upbringing. But the main reason is that a lot of them are in the situations that they're in is because of identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. So when he had them at the end saying, I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. Those are not just words to someone in that type of situation. They take the words of that song and they grab a hold to it. And you begin to see differences in their behaviors because they realize that the person that they were on the outside of that prison or that jail that they're in is no longer the person that they are. So that's why this particular song is so personal to me, because of what I see every day for the last 18 years. How living this life speaks to people. That's my motto. Let the life that I live speak for me. You don't even have to say a word. Just do right. Be right. Act right. Talk right. Live right. And it will call someone to come up to you and ask, what is it about you? Why are you so different? And then that opens the door to your testimony, to sharing what God has done for you. Glory to God. I am no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. Well, thank you for calling in, and we're going to get into the word, amen, this weekend. Everyone is celebrating 4th of July, Day of Independence, Emancipation, Freedom. We're going to talk about that this morning. Coming out of the book of 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, verse 17. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, verse 17. And it reads, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." We'll read that again. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The title of the message this morning is "The Place of Liberty." The Place of Liberty. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to come into your presence. Thank you for waking us up this morning, God, to see another beautiful, glorious, magnificent day. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, God. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come and sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us, to equip us, to make us ready, to prepare us, God, to go out into this world and do what you called us to do, to seek and save that which is lost. Thank you, Father, for considering us, Father, for creating us, for making us in your own image and after your likeness. Hallelujah. That when people see us, just as Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen my Father." Help us to be more like you, God. That as we decrease, that you may increase. Thank you for your word, Father. Your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that heals, your word that sets free those who are bound, those who are captive by the chains of sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank you for Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, our comforter. And thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, our Creator, our Father. Now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, to make it personal, Father, that you may be glorified. and help us to walk in our liberty, in our freedom, in our deliverance, in our salvation. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The place of liberty. Liberty. Let's talk about liberty this morning. Liberty. Freedom from physical, political, and spiritual oppression. That's what liberty is. Freedom from physical, political, and spiritual oppression. Throughout the Bible, one of God's primary purposes for his people is to free them from physical oppression and hardship, to liberate them from spiritual bondage. Throughout the Bible, one of God's primary purposes for his people is to free them from physical oppression and hardship, and to liberate them from spiritual bondage. One of the dominant themes of the Old Testament is that Yahweh is the God of who liberated the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. In the New Testament, God is the one who liberates people from bondage to sin through Jesus Christ. Jesus showed in Luke 4 chapter 18 and 19 verses that these purposes extend to all those who are oppressed, all those who are oppressed, not just those who call on his name. This liberation always comes from God, but he desires to use his people to accomplish these purposes. If they refuse, he will use other means. Liberty. Liberty is not a feeling. It's a being. Liberty is not a feeling. It's a being. It's not an emotional expression. It's a personal possession. It's not a physical space, but it's a spiritual place. The place of liberty. Liberty is the quality or state of being free. It's a being. Not that I feel free, but I am free. The quality of state of being free. The power to do as one pleases. The power to do as one pleases. Jesus said, I have given you power to become the sons of God. Freedom from physical restraint. Liberty. Freedom from physical restraint. And the last one is the power of choice. That's what liberty is. The power of choice. A few messages ago, we spoke about CDC. Choices, decisions, consequences. The power of choice. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. Well, what is Paul talking about when he says the Lord is that spirit? What spirit is he talking about? So we have to go back to the beginning of the chapter, 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1 in the Amplified Bible. Says, the Lord is that Spirit. And it reads, are we starting to commend ourselves again? Or we do not, like some false teachers, need written credentials or letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? No, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, our credentials, written in your hearts, written in your hearts, to be known or perceived or recognized and ready and read by everybody. Let me read that one again, verse 2. No, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation or our credentials, written in your hearts to be known or perceived or recognized and read by everybody. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. Not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. There it is. That Spirit. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ. Did you hear that? We are letters from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So when someone sees us, it's like they're reading a letter, a personal letter from Jesus. What is your life saying to them? What is your life saying to people when they read you? That's between you and thee. Verse 4 says, such is the reliance and confidence that we have through Christ toward and with reverence to God. Not that we are fit or qualified and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgment or to claim or count anything as coming from us, but our power and ability and sufficiency are from God, the power to do as one pleases. It comes from our Father who art in heaven. Verse 6 says, it is he who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ. Not ministers of the letter of legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. So this is what Paul is talking about when he says, now the Lord is that Spirit. That Spirit, that type of Spirit that lives a life that when it is read, it glorifies God. The place of liberty. Verse 7 says, now if the dispensation of death engraved in letters on stone, the ministration of the law, was inaugurated with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadily on the face of Moses because of its brilliance. A glory that was to fade and pass away. So this is talking about when Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And he was in the presence of God, face to face. Let's look at that in Exodus 34th chapter. Starting at verse 29. Exodus 34, starting at verse 29. And it reads, I'm reading the Amplified Bible. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face shone and sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. Now picture that. Picture that. Say, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face shone and sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. When you're in the presence of God, and when you leave, you're not the same. You're no longer the same. You don't look the same. You heard people talk about a glow, that there's a glow about them. That's what this is speaking of. Moses had a glow about him. Verse 30 says, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face alone, and it shone, and they feared to come near him. This is the type of glow that he had. They feared to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. So they started fleeing. They started running away from him. And he talked with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had said to him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, listen to this, he put on a veil. He put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and told the Israelites what he was commanded. What we get from God when we're in his presence is not for us to hold on to. It's for us to share. What we get from God is not for us to hold on to. It's for us to share. verse 25 says, verse 35 says, the Israelites saw the face of Moses, how the skin of it shone, and Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. So when Moses was in the presence of God, he took the veil off. But when he was around the people, he put the veil on. Because of their fear, because of how they saw him, he hid the glory of God. Just wanted to point that out. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Starting at verse 10. Talking about the place of liberty. 2 Corinthians, third chapter, verse 10. It says, indeed, in view of this fact, that what had splendor, the glory of the law, in the face of Moses, has come to have no splendor at all because of the overwhelming glory that exceeds and excels it. The glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. See, when Moses was in the presence of God, He was the mediator, so to speak, the in-between man between God and the Israelites. So verse 10 is saying, indeed, in view of this fact, what once had splendor, the glory of the law in the face of Moses, has come to have no splendor at all because of the overwhelming glory that exceeds and excels it, the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. See, because of Jesus, because of what he did, went to the cross. And now he's seated on the right hand of God. He's our mediator. We don't need a man, a human being. Now we can go straight to the throne of God ourselves. Matter of fact, it says that because of this access that we have through Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly, unashamed, without fear. The place of liberty. Verse 11 says, for if that which was but passing and fading away, came with splendor, how much more must that which remains and is permanent abide in glory and splendor? See, Moses was able to cover it up and uncover it. But it said that it faded. He didn't have it all the time. Only when he was in the presence of God. But now it's saying, for if that which was but passing and fading away came with splendor. That glory that shone in the face of Moses, that splendor said, how much more must that which remains and is permanent abide in glory and splendor? See, we have a glow now that never goes out, that we can't hide, that we can't put a veil over and hide it. Since we have such glorious hope, such joyful and confident expectation, we speak very freely and openly and fearlessly. I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. Nor do we act like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze upon the finish of the vanishing splendor which had been upon it. In fact, their minds were grown hard and calloused. They had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. For until this present day, when the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is being read, that same veil still lies on their hearts, not being lifted to reveal that in Christ it is made void and done away. Said those who live according to the Old Testament, they can't comprehend, they don't understand that they don't have to live in bondage anymore, that they don't have to hide from the glory of God because of Jesus, the New Testament, the New Covenant. Verse 15 says, yes, down to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their minds and hearts. But whenever a person turns in repentance, whenever they are born again, whenever they are saved, says, but whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Can hide the glory of God. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom, the place of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So that place of liberty is in the Spirit of the Lord. Once we become born again, we are no longer slaves, but we have been emancipated We have been set free. The chains of bondage have been broken. Glory to God. Let's go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Starting at verse 1. The place of liberty. And it reads, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor. Glory to God. Somebody needs to claim that today. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor. This is a year of God's favor for my life. Glory to God. And the day of vengeance of our God. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. To comfort all who mourn. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. To give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, oaks. When I think of oak, I think of an oak tree. An oak tree can withstand all types of weather, all types of seasons. It says that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God. The planting of the Lord. Ha. That's why. We're called oaks, because we're planted by the Lord, that he may be glorified. When people read our lives, God should be glorified. Now let's go to St. Luke. St. Luke, the fourth chapter. See, this was read in the Old Testament in Isaiah. So now let's go to St. Luke, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 12. And it reads, and Jesus replied to him. This is when Jesus was in the wilderness. Said he was led in the wilderness by the Spirit. When Satan tempted him after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Last week we spoke about premeditated worship. where we have to recognize the differences between temptation and being tested. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Verse 12 says, and Jesus replied to him. Jesus replied to Satan. The scripture says, you shall not tempt, try, test exceedingly the Lord your God. And when the devil has ended the complete cycle of temptation. Listen to that. There is a cycle of temptation. And when the devil has ended the complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. Listen to this. Says, and he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. They're honoring him and praising him. Verse 16 says, so he came to Nazareth, that Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day. A lifestyle. And he stood up to read, and there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written, where we just read out of Isaiah 61st chapter. And it says, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So what he is reading, he's actually revealing. He's not just reading, but he's revealing. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, who are bruised, who are crushed and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. So he just read this out of Isaiah. And then in verse 20 says, then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. They're looking at him like in amazement, in awe. And he began to speak to them. This is the revelation. This is now he revealing what he just read. Says, and he began to speak to them, today, this scripture in Isaiah 61st chapter has been fulfilled. While you are present and hearing, and all spoke well of him and marveled at the words of grace that came forth from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? See, there's that veil again. There's that ignorance of understanding. That blindness of recognizing says, is not this Joseph's son? So he said to them, you would doubtless quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have learned by hearsay that you did in Capernaum, do here also in your own town. So what he's saying is, when I'm on that cross, these are the words that you would say to me. If you be the Son of God, deliver yourself, get yourself down off that cross. After he had just revealed who he was. I am the anointed one. I am the sent one. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I am the Lord. I am who this scripture, this passage is talking about. But because of the blindness of their hearts, they couldn't recognize him. 2 Corinthians, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, verse 18, says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, that's key. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It can't just be a one-time thing. It says that we must continue. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, we have to stay in His presence. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory to glory to glory, ever-increasing. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, that Spirit, the place of liberty. St. John, 8th chapter. I'm going to close it out. St. John, 8th chapter. Verse 36. And it reads, well, I'm going to read verse 34. Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin. Now, a slave does not remain in the household permanently forever. The son of the house does remain forever. So if the son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. So this is what Jesus was saying to them. I am the Son. I have been sent to liberate you, to emancipate you, to free you, to give you liberty. Says, indeed, the King James Version says, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Indeed means without any question, truly, undeniably, indeed, we are free because of what Jesus did for us. The place of liberty is in Jesus. Glory to God. Therefore, you can walk boldly. You can walk confidently. You can walk knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. The place of liberty. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your forgiveness, Father. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And thank you for raising him up on the third day and receiving him in heaven, that while he's sitting on your right hand, he's interceding for us. He's pleading our cause, continuously praying for us. Therefore, we have access to come boldly to your throne of grace, not walking in fear, but walking in confidence, walking in the liberty that you have given us. For we are no longer slaves to fear, because we are your child, your sons and daughters, your children. Thank you. We praise you. Give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The place of liberty. Walk in your liberty. Walk in your freedom. Walk in your deliverance. Walk in your victory. Love you. Talk to you later. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodham. God bless you.